This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by Foria Wellness. At Foria Wellness, pleasure is your nature. Foria Wellness is passionate about innovation in the sexual wellness realm. They offer tons of products made from plant-based ingredients specifically designed to enhance your sexual pleasure. From increased arousal and pleasure to aiding sexual and menstrual comfort, Foria's large selection of wellness products solve real challenges and deliver meaningful results. They are also innovative leaders, having invented the first ever cannabis and hemp-based personal lubricants and CBD suppositories, which help address menstrual and pelvic discomfort. I absolutely love the CBD booty melts to help aid in comfort during spicy times with my partner. They also help with keeping things nice and lubricated. Try Foria Wellness products and get 20% off your entire order using code DEMITRI at checkout. That's code DEMITRI, D-E-M-I-T-R-I, for 20% off your entire order. Thank you, Foria Wellness, for sponsoring this week's episode. Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories. This podcast may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18 and may contain themes of sexuality, sexual assault, domestic violence, or other mental health issues. A content warning is in place. Viewer discretion is advised.
I walk in the door and he's a hoarder.
Oh.
But I mean bad. Like, he had old bottles of alcohol. I'm like, why do you keep these bottles of alcohol? Well, he goes, oh, they're still good. And he plants and stuff. And everywhere you looked, it was like very stressful to look at all that stuff. And then on the floor, I went to the couch first, and the first thought I had is, he's a murderer. That was the first, my instincts were, he's a murderer. But the slide in that pussy is the homicide.
Welcome to Hookup Horror Story, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm Demi Wilde, your resident sexual deviant. And today I've got a very extra special guest deviant. I have creator and author of the new erotica book, Big Love, Barry Beckett.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm very excited to talk to you. We've got a lot to get into.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm ready too. Let's just jump in. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I wrote a book named Big Love. It's 40 short stories about a dating experience I had. And then when I actually didn't meet him, but we were talking on the phone or we were texting, and he texted me this really beautiful sexual story. And then I texted him back. And then we never met. He found another girl, but I kept going with the stories. So there are 40 beautiful but graphic stories. You know, it's erotica.
Okay? Sure, yeah.
And in the back of it, what makes it different is there's a journal, and everybody can create your own stories out of it.
Oh, wow.
So you read the stories, and my commitment is that everybody gets to express themselves how they want to express themselves, whether you have a relationship or not. It's an opportunity to open yourself up. So that's my commitment out of the book.
That's pretty cool. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. So like you started this book with another person via text.
Right.
Does that mean that you were online dating for a little while?
I'm still online dating. Okay. Haven't found the one yet. Yes. And I thought he was the one, but he didn't think I was the one. Okay. So he met someone else. But I was online dating and going through it. And then this guy came along and he just opened me up to really what I wanted in sex. And I didn't even realize what I wanted in sex until I spoke with him, you know, and I'm 64, going to be 64. And it really shows that my sexual appetite has never left. And that is true with older women, younger women, when you're opened up to sex, like I got opened up, I'm rearing and ready to go.
Yeah, I get that, definitely.
Yeah, so that's been a really great eye-opening for me, and it got me to write the book, and it took me no time to write the book. It was just there for me, like, and it's, you know, a story, and I have been, I'm divorced, and I have been online dating now for a while. I'm the one. You know, sometimes I go off, sometimes I go back on like that.
Do you believe in the one?
You know, I got to tell you, I do, but you've got to be open, like, to, you have to be open to it. Like, you know, you're not going to find the one by, like, well, they don't make $1 million or they're, not they're 5'4" instead of 6 feet. You have to feel it,
right?
And that's, so I believe there's someone out there for me.
Yeah,
I really
definitely
do.
I don't know if I believe in the one. I think I definitely had, you know, I've had several ones.
Yes.
But you know, some of them were better than others, obviously.
Yes.
But I think it, what it really boils down to is compatibility and willingness to share with others and willingness to compromise. And I don't want to say compromise either, because I feel like compromise has a negative connotation to it. I feel like you need to have a ability to collaborate with others.
That's a great way of putting it. And that's exactly how I feel. You know, I may call it the one, but it's really just a good match.
Yeah.
You know, you dance with each other.
Yeah. There might be a little bit of like stars align kind of situation, but you know, that's also depends on how you look at it, I suppose.
Right. Exactly. There has to be a sexual chemistry, a conversation chemistry, you know, one's reading the paper and the other's like dying for conversation. That's not going to work. Okay.
Yeah.
Or one wants to have sex a lot and the other doesn't, that's not going to work. You know, things like that.
Yeah. What was, how has online dating been for you?
It's, I don't want to lie. It's been, you know, not great. How was I going to say it? Okay. Let me just say it. Not great. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're going like this. You know, well, you can't see because we're on a podcast. You're just pressing the left, 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 so many times. And then all of a sudden you go to the right, you know, you find that person. And it's just, at this point, it's a matter of numbers, you know, to find the right person. Right.
That's the thing with dating apps is I think you definitely echo a lot of like sentiments that a lot of other people share as well, including myself, where it's just, it's mindless. It's shallow. It's just swiping, swiping, swiping. Tinder's really ruined the dating app experience.
Yeah.
But I think what needs to happen in a lot of my kind of research and stuff on this topic is there needs to be a more human element to it. Like, I think Bumble perhaps had I think they had a video speed dating feature that they were testing for a little while where like you can literally see a person in front of you and talk to them and feel their energy, at least digitally.
Yeah.
I like that idea, or, you know, but call me old fashioned. I kind of like, I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I met my current boyfriend on an app, but I call me old fashioned. I want to meet someone in real life because I want to feel their energy. I want to see how we connect with each other. You can't do that on an app.
No, and it's so funny you just said that because I literally an hour ago was talking to someone. I'm like, I want to meet someone organically, you know, like, and she asked me where I go. I go to this certain bar, you know, I hang out there and I want that like magic, you know, where you're actually talking to someone and seeing them. Cause you're right. It's very organic to just keep going to the left, to the left, to the left, oh, to the right. You know, it's very much that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
I feel like maybe bars might not be a great place to meet people either,
Yes.
because I feel like if you meet someone at a bar, what do you have in common with this person other than drinking?
Right.
I think that's a great place to maybe like meet someone when you're 20, you know,
Yeah.
21, like
Yeah.
fresh out of,
Yeah.
you know, fresh able to go out into the bars and stuff. I think that's the place. But, you know, for people of a certain age or even a little older than 21, you know, maybe even 30s or so,
Right.
what other places can you meet a person in real life?
You know what's really funny? I go to the dog park, and then, you know, people make jokes. You can meet, I mean, the
That's a
dog
great
park.
place. Yeah.
Yeah, I go to the dog park, and you know what? I'm not a drinker, so I end up drinking cappuccino at the bar. It's this really nice bar I go to, and it you know has fabulous food, and I drink cappuccino. So that gets, but you're right. You're so right. There's, you know, there's. Like you take a walk on the, we have here in Michigan, it's called the West Bloomfield Trails, and they're beautiful. You take a walk, and sometimes you see somebody with another dog or something. And my dog's obnoxious, so that gets everybody's attention. He has a personality, but there aren't, I don't know. You have to give me suggestions because I don't know where else to meet people. The grocery store, I don't know. You
See,
know, I
I think when I say meet people in real life, I think of like shared activities, you know, taking a pottery class, you know, get all Patrick Swayze and Ghost or something, and Demi Moore and Ghost, or a yoga class, or like, you know, shared activities, things that you can connect with another person on that aren't drinking and aren't just kind of vapid things.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Like, I love, like, here's the thing. I was in New York. I love going to New York, and I visit all the modern art museums. And it's so funny you said that. I met at the Whitney. I dropped my phone
Oh
and
no.
he looked up at me and laughed. Okay. And actually, in my next book that'll be coming out in February, there is a part about that in the book. And there are these terraces. So I went out into the terrace to look at some art and he was sitting there. And we had this long conversation. It turned out he was the film producer.
Oh, wow.
And he had a film he was promoting here. So he was married, you know, and but you're right. That's the point of it is it's like I love modern art. And there I was in a meeting a very interesting person there. So you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, it can't, it's not always, you know, a love match, but I think just connecting with another person is its own
Right.
kind of win.
Right. I need to go to more art museums.
Me too. Last time I was in New York, I actually unfortunately did not get to go see the Whitney. That's the one I have not gone to in New York, but I saw a bunch of other things though. But I was there. This is kind of sad. I went there in February and I had, so I took a red eye. So I got there like very late at night and I got there like maybe 4 in the morning. I couldn't check into my hotel until 4 p.m. and then I had tickets to Chicago on Broadway. And so I
Wow.
like ended up walking around for like 12 hours, like literally. But by the time I got to the point where I can go back to the hotel, check in, and I get ready for my Chicago tickets, I was so tired. I was so tired from walking around all day. I didn't even get to like go to like museums that day. It was just not a good day,
Yeah.
unfortunately. And I missed my
Yeah.
Chicago show too.
You did?
I did. Yeah, I fell asleep.
For all those tickets.
I
You
know.
know, it's so funny because I love New York. I contemplated moving to New York. You've got to go to the MoMA.
Yes.
So you have to see that. But the reason I like New York from, you know, our discussion right now, you meet such interesting people off the street. And they're so open to talking to you. And to me, it's a fascinating city.
Definitely. That's
Yeah.
the other thing too, is yeah, it depends on how densely populated your surroundings are. Like New York is kind of a magical place in general because there's so many people there. You can literally meet a random person on the street and strike up a conversation. Not everywhere is like that, you know, maybe not Michigan, for example.
Exactly. Detroit is, you know, changing. It's like, I grew up right outside of Chicago, and Chicago's an amazing city, and you could walk down the street and talk to a lot of people. Here, it wasn't that way for so many years. And now they have these fabulous restaurants. It's their own kind of Chicago. It's never going to be a Chicago, but it's Detroit. And fabulous restaurants, skate parks, you know, really amazing stores are coming. So maybe I should frequent downtown Detroit more. You just gave me an idea.
Do it. Let me know what happens.
I will. I'll let you know what happens.
So can you tell me a little bit about Big Love? You said it's a collection of short stories. Are they all the same person, or is it?
That's a great idea. That's a great question, not idea. It's like I said, it started with this online dating man that I really liked. He was amazing. Okay. And I wrote him, how it actually started was I sent him a text saying, if we were with a bunch of people, I would send you a note, you know, put a note under your lap saying that to meet me in the bathroom. And then he proceeded to tell me what he would do to me in that bathroom and how we got home. And I was blown away. Okay. It was beautiful and it was very sexual. So I wrote him a couple more, and then he found this other girl, and I just kept writing. And it was all of my fantasies of what I wanted in a man, how I wanted to be treated sexually. And what's interesting about it is that it gives women permission to take the first move, because a lot of women don't. So in this book, I didn't name the characters, by the way. There's no names for the character. The woman in this book initiates a lot. And there's ones called like the quickie, the dance. I have them named, all different kinds of names, Love and McGrill, you know, and they're interesting and fun. And it opens people up to what they want in their sexual relationship.
Yeah.
And a story about them, they were so in love, and sex just was some important way they showed that love. And it goes up until their 90s, until the woman dies.
Wow. That's very unique, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different kind of erotica book, but it's beautiful, but it's, you know, you'll get turned on too.
Yeah.
And then you just take that pen and start making your own up. It opens you up to what you want too. So it's you're learning and you're enjoying at the same time.
Yeah. I also like the idea of not having names in, or not having the characters named in it, because I think a lot of readers want to see themselves in the stories.
Exactly. You are so right. You
was
got
that
it.
Intentional?
Intentional. I wanted the book. In the beginning, I say this book is for anyone. You have a relationship, you're dating, you're married, you don't have a relationship. I don't want to label. I want them to keep being creative as they're reading the story. And it's a story too of love. So it gives them hope, you know, if you're not in love.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see a lot of like women seeing themselves in these stories, seeing how not every story is linear. You know, sometimes you get some side quests going on but those are just as fulfilling and just as fun as the big journey, you know?
Right. So it is a journey. It's a journey through their love. And there's part of the book, I say, what is big love? Do you know? And then I list what big love is. It's like him touching your back, you know, the center of your back, or not walking in front of you, walking with you. So there's a couple of those pages in there that gives them ideas. of how to be treated, because there were times when I was mistreated in relationships. And what is it like? And a lot of us have felt mistreated in relationships. Now, I'm not saying men aren't mistreated either. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about women. You know, the man walks in front of you, which, by the way, drives me freaking crazy. Okay. But what he does is, if he's walking in front of me, he'll see, I talk to him like he is, because I'm so used to the book. He holds his hand out to make sure I'm walking with him.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
You know, things like that. You know, always saying I love you, letting him pick the movie. And there's one part of the book where he asks her to marry him. And he puts the ring on the table, doesn't say a word, and just says, I don't need to say these romantic words to you because I am always there for you. I love you and you can count on me. And then she says that back to each other, and then they were engaged.
Oh.
It was, you know, it's erotica, graphic, but with a love story thing.
I love that. Have you written a book before?
I wrote a book a long time ago that's no longer out. But this is my really first. It's popular. It's a great book to read. And I wrote it. You know, authors have, like, they think it has to take a long time to write a book. I never got that. I wrote it in maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's quick.
and published it. My next book, it took me a month to read, because when I have the idea, I just go with the idea. So I'm, you know, I don't have that. Like right now, I'm having a little bit of writer's block. What am I going to write next? But I'll just wait till something comes to me, and then I just start writing and I don't stop.
Yeah. I think, well, I've written two books too. These are poetry books here, but my third book is going to be a memoir. But I would say the first book came, some poems in there were like when I was 16 years old. I just like re-edited them and like, you know, compiled them. But I think a lot of them actually came over the course of a couple of years. And then I was like, what am I doing with all these? Can I just put these in a book and release it? And then I did. And then the second one literally came in probably another year. It came very quickly as compared to the first one.
Because you knew what you had a vision, you know? And that's how I write. I write with the vision. I'm like, okay, I have a beginning, but I never know really how it's going to end. But I have like an outline in my brain, and then I'll write a chapter. And if I don't have another chapter ready to write, I'll wait. And then I'll just keep writing and writing and writing. And then I have a very good editor who is amazing, who is so creative. So this book I wrote on Apple Notes.
Yeah, me too. That's my favorite.
You did too?
I'm so digital. My handwriting is terrible, first of all. So I really don't like, unless I'm like making notes during an interview like this or something, I don't really like to like handwrite stuff. But yeah, I'm very digital. It kind of scares me sometimes because I feel like, you know, one day if the internet just like crashes or something and like everything's gone.
Exactly. Do you know, you're the first person that said that. Well, I felt guilty for my editor because I had to keep, you know, okay, I did another one. I did another one. I actually did it on Word. The second book is on Word.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed writing it on Apple Notes.
It's simple. It's easy to do. You can do it laying in bed. Like,
right. You're the first person that I know, like I said, that did it that way.
It took me a long time to figure out how, because a lot of the times my ideas come at the most random times. Like I could be pushing a grocery cart at the grocery store, or right. I could be, you know, just hopped out of the shower or something. It could literally be in the most random place. And I don't have paper around to write down this idea.
Right.
So what do? I bust out the Apple Notes and I just like put down whatever it is, take those quick couple of minutes, put out whatever thought, and then it's out of my head.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened to me. I came up with an idea like the quickie. Okay, so I'm just going to write that down really quick, what it is. You can imagine what it is. And then I have another idea. I'm walking. You know where I get my ideas? I think it's because I'm like so relaxed. I go on the trail and I walk on the trail and all of a sudden I have ideas that I didn't have before. So yeah, you're like me. That's how I do it.
Yeah. Cause you never know when inspiration strikes. It's quite handy to have everything you need in your pocket.
And you have it in your phone and God forbid I'm not with my phone. So what's it like? I panic if I don't have my phone. So like
definitely.
That.
What do you think you learned about yourself through writing erotica?
First thing I want to say is that I'm probably your oldest guest you've ever had. And that I wrote something that Cosmo is looking at that may take the article, okay? Mm-hmm. About age and sex.
Mm-hmm.
That we are, what I learned was that I am as sexual and as vibrant. Maybe I have wrinkles, but in my heart, I am as vibrant as someone that's maybe 25. The difference is I have that knowledge and I don't give up. Do you know what I mean? I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. So that's what I learned about myself. And, when people see us after 50 in stretch pants and, orthopedic shoes, that's where I should be right now. And truth is, I'm wearing Lululemon and spiked heels and enjoying my life like I've never enjoyed it before. And I'm writing erotica. So I was able to express where maybe when I was younger, I wouldn't have expressed it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's like, I have a friend that he writes. You're actually only the second erotica writer I've had on the show, which is wonderful. But my other friend who came on previously, he's still trying to get me to write an erotica book. I'm like, I just don't have that in me. I'm not an explicit writer, I don't think. I definitely like to touch on taboos. I like to, I'm mostly autobiographical. That's the thing. I also really want to write a fiction book, but I don't know how. That's not how my brain operates. I can only write from what I know. And I find it very difficult to make things up,
Yeah.
Yeah. I can embellish, but I can't like, I can't like make things up.
I think it would be a good fiction. You just have to be open to it. Like who ever thought I would write an erotica book? Okay. I'm a mortgage banker. All right. For a big company. And who would ever think I did it? But I was open to it. I was ready to express myself artistically. And that's how I express myself. I'm a writer.
Yeah, I love that. Well, speaking of writers, I have a story here that was a submission. So this is something new that I've been doing with guests on this season. Basically, I'm inviting people to send me an email, or you can submit anonymously at the Linktree, submit the Google form. You can do it anonymously that way. But basically, I have people send me either a story or a question or some kind of, romantic thing. Something sex or dating related, essentially, or a hookup horror story, whatever you want to send. And I get my guests to kind of do a reaction to it, get their thoughts. This is a story about a person that says they were on a break. So my girlfriend and I just went on a break and I've never had one before. Do they actually work? We started our break yesterday because she needed time to reevaluate the relationship and to see if it's what she wants. I didn't want it, but I told her that I'd give her a week max so at least I'd know how long it could last. She said that if I did, then she'd break up with me. So now we're on a break with no time limit, and I'm not sure what the rules and boundaries are of this break. So should I break up with her or should I wait it out to see the conclusion or it comes to? What do you think? Do breaks work?
I think he better have a straight conversation with her, because when you're in love, you don't want to break.
Yeah.
So I think there's some communication between them, like ring her up.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like there needs to be a little bit more context to this, where I think people, I don't think breaks are necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes you just like I think breaks can be okay on some in some respects, where I think, maybe I just need a little personal time right now. I'm just having a hard time. It's hard from the other person's perspective because you want to be there for that person. But sometimes, I don't know, family stuff's going on. So, death in the family, whatever the case may be, I just need a little personal time to deal with this. That's totally fine. But I don't necessarily think that breaks are necessarily a bad thing. But you do need to communicate the rules and the boundaries beforehand. So, maybe touch base with them and see what the situation is. Is there a time frame? What kind of rules? Can I not text you? Can I not contact you? Is this a no contact kind of break? I think people really, I think when we want to take a break, really we're just tired, and maybe communicating might not be a wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but I think you do need to get confirmation of what the situation is.
You know what? I think you are right in the fact that maybe this person should have gotten the ground rules ahead of time. Like you said, like, should I text? How long are we doing this for? Are you looking to see, we're ending the relationship and you just don't want to say anything, or you're looking at that? And then take the break. Because sometimes you miss people when you take a break. And you really discover that you really like them or love them or whatever. You want to be with them like that. So I think you're right about that. They should have
Yeah,
had
and I think you're right too. Absence does make the heart grow fonder. Sometimes you just need to take a little breather sometimes, and then once we're ready, we come right back.
Exactly. And you hear these couples that break up and, they've been together. You hear them like a couple ways. They've been together forever. And then one of them finds someone else, because they weren't really the one. Or they're together and they just need a break, and then they discover how much they love each other, and then they're together forever
Yeah,
or for a
definitely.
long time.
Yeah, definitely.
It's either one is usually how it is.
Yeah, for sure. Well, send me your stories, hookuphorrorstoriespodcast@gmail.com. I have a brand new email address you can send them to. Send me your hookup horror stories, dating questions, all that jazz to hookuphorrorstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Barry, I think it is time of the show where I invite my guests to share their hookup horror story.
Oh my God, I have the best one. Okay. So I was in New York, of course, my favorite place, and I met a photographer and he wanted to date me. And I was like thinking about it. And he was like impeccable. Like his clothes were impeccable, his car was impeccable. He complained about his mother, how she had things all over the place. And there was like, I thought it was a cockroach or a bug in my hotel room, and I was uncomfortable with it. And he's like, "You can sleep at my house." I said, "Okay, but I'm not going to sleep with you. I will go to your house." So I go to his house, I walk in the door, and he's a hoarder. But I mean bad. Like, he had old bottles of alcohol. I'm like, why do you keep these bottles of alcohol? Well, he goes, oh, they're still good. And he plants and stuff, and everywhere you looked, it was like very stressful to look at all that stuff. And then on the floor, I went to the couch first, and the first thought I had is, he's a murderer. That was the first, like, I literally, my instincts were, he's a murderer. And then I stood up, because I just didn't want to sit on the couch in case he wanted to murder me or something. And I went and I looked down, and he had old potatoes. You know how the old potatoes have things growing out of it? And I said to him, why don't you throw away those potatoes? He's like, someday I'll grow potatoes. Well, I said I'd sleep over and I didn't have a car to get back. It was in Brooklyn, so, or on the edge of Brooklyn. And I kept my clothes on. I got in bed. I looked up at the wall and he had belts hanging from the wall. Okay.
Belts?
Belts.
Hanging from what?
Like, that's what I was thinking is, you know, like, are you going to tie me up and kill me? What are you going to do? You know, like, so I had a panic attack.
I would too.
Ran out of it. Like I said, I can't do this. I'm having anxiety. I call an Uber and I get out of there. And then I told him, I don't think it's a good idea that we should pursue a relationship. Never heard from him. And he was a known photographer. Like, you know, he was a very good photographer. Not your average every, you know, day. Like he was, not that photographers are average every day, they're creative, but he was a well-known photographer and he just scared the ass out of me.
Oh my God.
So that's my horror story.
Wait, okay. So let's go back to the beginning. So you were at a hotel and he was complaining about his mother?
Well, what happened was he would, in conversation with him, because I went places with him in New York, you know. Mm-hmm.
You guys like hung out?
We hung out. You know, we kissed a little, but we hung out.
Okay.
And he was complaining about his mother had all this stuff. So I thought, oh my God, his apartment must be so neat. Because his car was neat. He was dressed well. I was like, and when I walked in, it was just this complete shock. And literally my first thought was, he's a murderer. It was like an instinct, like you're a murderer. Like,
trust that instinct when it does come up.
Yeah, I was like, his couch had like something over it. Like, just imagine everywhere you look. Everywhere you look, there's something. So there's very little space in the house. There was walking space, but it was on the kitchen table. He had built these shelves. It was all over the shelves. There were belts in his bedroom, which I did not like that they were in his bedroom on the wall on a nail.
They were on a nail?
On a nail. In the bedroom on a nail. I was like, oh my God. And then it just, everywhere you looked, and it just freaked me out. I had to get out of there. I could not spend, I was counting like, okay, there would only be like 5 hours, 6 hours, then I could go home. I was actually trying to stay, but I couldn't do it.
Just couldn't make yourself do it. I joke with my mom because she is, I would say she's on the lighter side of the hoarding.
Yes.
She certainly has collections of things that don't need to be, but I've helped to get rid of a lot of the stuff. But when it comes to like, you know, the food growing roots in the room or just stuff everywhere, you know, there's a dead cat lying around, like that's just been there for years.
Right.
That stuff scares me. That stuff is extreme.
It is extreme. There, you know, I drive by this house when I go to, my dog goes to daycare and I drive by this house. In this house, you can see inside the window, there's not one space left in that house. I don't even know how he gets in the house.
At that point, why would he invite people over?
Like, it seems like he doesn't care. And like, this guy thought to bring a girl you like, or bring anyone there, a good friend you like, into this space was unbelievable to me. Especially he was trying to impress me. Unbelievable that I was, he put me in that space.
Oh my goodness.
It was not good.
Have you ever had anything like that happen before? Like,
You know, it's so funny you said that. When I was in college, I was talking to my professor who was getting in his car, and he had newspapers stacked up almost over the windows. Like it was like he, I was like,
On newspaper hoarders.
newspaper hoarders. You know, there are like, well, it's an illness.
Yeah, that's a
Like,
thing.
you see these shows where they make you get rid of stuff, you know, these home shows where they go in and they organize and they and they want to hold on to like a stupid thing from 30 years ago, you know, that means nothing, a strap or something, you know. But yeah, it is an illness.
Yeah, people that do newspaper hoarding, I feel like they think that they're some sort of archivist.
I don't know, but it was like a library in there. And I
They
was
can't
like,
get rid of
gosh,
it.
he was my professor. And I was like, you're a professor and you're hoarding newspapers, you know? So.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing that. And if you guys have a hoarding story, send it to me. Hookup Horror Stories Podcast at gmail.com. I would love to hear it. Well, Barry, is there going to be a Big Love part two?
There is going to be another romance coming out, but we have a gift box we have for this too. We've set up a gift box. It's on Amazon where the book is on Amazon. The book is on Kobo and other places you can find it. It's a book set with in a beautiful black box with gold writing of Big Love, and you get the book and a pen
Oh, I love
so you
that.
can write your own stories. Yes.
I love
And
that.
so we're doing a gift set as well as just the book. You can get on Amazon. It's the easiest place to get
That's great.
it.
Well, amazing. Before I let you go, Barry, I have one more thing I'd like to do with you,
Of
and that
course.
is play my favorite game, which is Red Flags.
Okay.
Basically, I'm going to give you a situation, and you're going to tell me if it's a red flag for you or not. And, feel free to elaborate if you'd like to also.
All right.
All right. So, number one, they are a ventriloquist.
They are a ventriloquist. Red flag for me. Because I don't think they want to be in themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just want to like pretend to be other people. So when they get angry at you, they'll be Barbara Streisand or something. Do you know what I mean? Instead of angry at you singing or out loud or something. Definitely a red
So
flag.
them bringing the dummy on the date is out of the
You're
question.
out of the question. Yeah, exactly.
Number two, they have dozens of pictures. Well, hey, this is maybe a hoarding thing. They have dozens of pictures of themselves in front of the Seattle gum wall.
Mentally ill, red flag. Okay. That is definitely a red flag.
I would say maybe a yellow flag. I'd be like caution, because
Right.
like why the Seattle? I used to live in Seattle, but like
Yeah.
why that place? There's so many other
Yeah.
great places.
There's some art museums, you know, skating walls, like things like that. Yeah, I just had somebody that I that we're gonna date a little bit, you know. He's swimming and he calls me from the pool, and I thought that was weird. I'm like, why is your phone by the pool? Like, not the pool, like the workout pool, not
Oh,
like a, do you
like at a
know what I
gym?
mean? Like in a gym. But his, I don't know why. And I said to myself, that's not a red flag, but I just thought it was
Wait, why?
because,
How?
you know, you're working out and you have it right next to the pool and you're supposed to be doing laps and you're stopping to answer your phone. I don't know. It just,
I feel like some people might just want to bring their phone with them,
you're right. That's why I, it's
Or
just
listen
me.
to music or
Weird.
something.
It's just me being weird.
Okay. Number three. Oh, I saw the most disgusting thing the other day. First of all, I saw a TikTok of this girl who was at the Seattle Gum Wall who bit a piece of it off.
Ew.
I was so grossed out. It was so nasty.
Disgusting.
I know. Come on, guys. We don't need to do everything for TikTok. Number three, they are really into interpretive dance and sometimes even in public places.
Oh, that's not a red flag. I think it's artsy and cool.
That's joyful. That's fun. I will say if it's a full routine, then you can't stop until you're done. That might be a little distracting.
Yellow flag.
Yeah. they say your best friend looks hot.
Not a red flag. Just shut up and don't say that anymore.
just don't say that anymore. You don't need to say it. We need to keep some thoughts to ourselves.
Right, exactly.
And number five, their favorite meal is pickles and anchovies.
You know what? That's not a red flag. To each its own.
Would you want him to kiss you after?
No, he'll have to brush his teeth and flush. But no, it wouldn't be a problem.
Oh my goodness. Okay, Barry, this has been so much fun. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to meet you as well. Where can my listeners find you, and where can they find Big Love?
They can find Big Love at Kobo, Amazon. Just be sure to put Barry Beckett, B-A-R-I Beckett, in front of it, because there's tons of books called Big Love. And we have a website called thebookbiglove.com.
Amazing. Of course, you'll find all those links in the description down below. Barry, thank you again for being here.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You as well.
Bye.
Thank you to my guest for joining me in this week's episode. Be sure to check the episode description for all of their information. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to help out the show. Send me your horrible hookups, your dating disasters, and your spicy questions to hookuphorrorstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to my YouTube channel for video versions of this show and a ton of other cool content. My blogs, The Deviant Diaries and A Deviant's Guide to Sex, can be found on my website at demetriawild.com. Support my work and get early access to my videos, podcast episodes, and exclusive content. Check out my Patreon, patreon.com/DemetriWild. Also, follow me on Instagram. I'm @DemetriWild_. Oh yeah, and one last thing. Thank you for listening, and stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional. So just do it.